I'm going to start with just giving an overview of the four Brahma Viharas before we go into our separate talks. The teachings of the Buddha can be viewed. Yeah, the teachings of the Buddha can be viewed as having two complementary parts, often called the wings of the Dharma. And those two parts are wisdom and compassion. And often they're symbolized by mind and heart. And we're delving into our heart energy today. How can we touch and encourage our capacity for goodwill towards ourselves and towards others? Brahma means divine, and Vihara means place, a place to abide. So the Brahma Viharas describe a place to be, to abide, where the mind is safe and protected from the poisons of greed, hatred, and delusion. And ultimately, those Brahma Viharas are within us, but we want to be able to open to them and feel them to a greater degree. So these are four qualities that we'll work with, and they're complementary. They go together, and they work together. Bhikkhu Anālayo, a monk and scholar at the Berry Center of Buddhist Studies, uses a simile or a metaphor of the sun to describe the four aspects of the Brahma Viharas and how they're really four aspects of one. So he uses the sun as the one source, just as metta is the one source for all the Brahma Viharas. And we can see that the Brahma Viharas are variations on a theme. Bhikkhu Anālayo says, metta is like the sun at midday in a cloudless sky, illuminating everything equally and providing warmth in all directions. Just as the sun shines on what is high and low, so metta shines on all without distinctions. So metta provides the attitude of friendliness towards ourselves and our experiences and towards others that is necessary for us to become wise and free. Compassion, Bhikkhu Anālayo says, is like the sun just before sunset. Darkness is close, yet the sun keeps shining, all the more brilliantly. The sun appears to be moving downward, and so too compassion is willing to reach out to those in less fortunate positions. Compassion arises when metta touches suffering. I see your suffering and I care. As you are, so am I. All beings want to be happy, not just me. All beings want to be free of suffering, not just me. Bhikkhu Anālayo goes on to say that sympathetic joy is compared to sunrise. The birds are singing merrily, the air is fresh, the sun appears to be moving upward, directing positive feelings towards those who are in a better position than oneself. Joy in its sympathetic and appreciative forms lifts us up and encourages spaciousness in us and feelings of gratitude. The fourth abode, equanimity, is like the full moon on a cloudless night. The moon itself is not a source of light and is not actively involved with the others, but it reflects the light of the sun and the other three Brahma Viharas. So equanimity provides a balanced presence in the face of the worldly winds, pleasure and pain, loss and gain, fame and disrepute, praise and blame. Whether it is pleasure or pain, we rest in the clarity of awareness, and this is the way it is right now. So that's just kind of an overview of the four aspects of the Brahma Viharas, really one and different. Different perspectives, different conditions. So I'm going to start by going more deeply into metta. The Pali word metta comes from the root maitri, meaning friendliness. We commonly hear metta defined as loving kindness, Sharon Salzberg's book called Loving Kindness, which some of you may know and may have read, came out in 1995 and made that definition, loving kindness, popular. But the word love has a lot of implications that can be a challenging image to live up to for people in our culture. Love, that might feel like a tall order sometimes. So some people like to think of metta as kindness or goodwill or warmth. When we practice the Brahma Viharas, we always begin with that is what is easy and what resonates for us. Last Wednesday during the Buddhist Essential class that two other LDLs, Susan and Arv, offered, I heard the words open heart a lot in the discussions of the people there. So you might want to think of what it's like when you feel your heart open. What is that felt sense? We want to get in touch with the felt sense of metta today. So if you just think of opening your heart, just take a second right now. What felt sense is it for you? Is it like friendliness, or do you think of kindness, or just something broader like goodwill? Or is it a feeling like warmth or something else? Maybe we could say that the Brahma Vihara practice we're exploring today is the practice of touching our hearts and encouraging them to open. You could even put your hand on your heart sometime during the day. Pema Chodron says, when you begin to touch your heart or let your heart be touched, you begin to discover that it's bottomless, that it doesn't have any resolution, that this heart is huge, vast, limitless. And you begin to discover how much warmth and gentleness is there, as well as how much space. Later, we'll have some time for guided meditation so you can explore the felt sense of metta more. Right now, let's just take a moment to see if you can get in touch with the place of the physical heart in your body. Notice any associations that come up. They might be emotions or images. You could close your eyes. For some people, there's a color or different colors. Or a memory of an experience you've had. Or you might think of beings you love. A dog, maybe, or a child, or a teacher. This is all part of opening our hearts and getting in touch with the metta that's already there. Don't be discouraged if you feel nothing, or if you feel numb, or if you feel something unloving like aversion. That's really normal. It's normal that when we practice with opening our hearts, the blockages to that will also arise. I was just in a retreat on the Brahma Viharas last week, and definitely the blocks came up too. And we were asked to not judge ourselves for that, but this is part of opening our heart. The blocks come up so that we will see them and that we can clear them. So we'll get to those blocks as we go along today. You can put them aside right now, and you can say to them, when you're working with metta, you can choose the time when you want to work with them. And you can also say, not now, later, because you want to have space to open your heart to the positive. And we don't always do that. Right now, we want to find the easiest way to our hearts. And with practicing the Brahma Viharas, we always start with the easiest first. We want to connect with what sparks metta. Puppies, babies, a dear friend, the view of nature outside your window, or you might feel like walking out the door right now and stepping into the brisk, fresh air. When I say that, I remember when my daughter was temporarily living with me during the COVID pandemic. She was away from all her friends and she was looking for a job and she wasn't very happy. She started taking walks before dinner. They were turned out to be like 2 and 3 hour walks. And she did that every day. And I remember when she came in from those walks, there was peace on her face. And to this day, she walks like that every day. And I do think it's really something she really needs and really helps her radiate metta. So you might take a minute to do a little silent brainstorm of things that open your heart just in your everyday habits, things you do for yourself to be kind to yourself, to make yourself feel good. And maybe that's opening the heart too. For me, one would be listening to a favorite audio Dharma talk. If I get start to sink low, I think, oh, I'm going to listen to that talk by that teacher. And I know I'll be inspired by something. And it will put me in a frame that's more kind and loving to myself and to others. Or reading a favorite poem. I know in my life, in difficult times during my lives, reading poetry has really, really helped me be more loving and kind to myself and to others and to just the world in general. Watching birds out my garden window is something I do every day, and I have a stellar jay that just gets right up at the window and asks for a peanut, and that always brings a smile to my face. We all have ingrained instincts and habit patterns which have us looking out for what's wrong. What we need to avert to, what we need in case the next catastrophe is around the corner. So we need to develop pathways to metta when we get lost and just in general. Metta is an embodied sense, so we can encourage metta by breathing in and out, by relaxing, by softening and widening. That's what Ajahn Sucitto, one of the senior monks in our tradition, Theravada tradition, and Pema Chodron says, you begin to discover how much warmth and gentleness is there right in our body. Metta practice builds on our intentions. So this is something to remember, that it's the intention to offer metta, loving kindness, friendliness to ourselves and others. We can't make ourselves feel friendly and loving through our willpower, but we can have the intention to be friendly and loving. So we'll work with the intention today. And let our intentions take the lead. Here's one experience of mine with this situation. I've been reading some books by Thich Nhat Hanh, and he's an inspiration to me as an exemplar of being a being who radiates metta. Some of you may be familiar with the way he often guides us to smile in meditations. That bothered me. I didn't want to smile if I didn't feel like smiling. So I would just skip over that with a bit of feeling of irritation. And when I think about it, I think the problem is that I was judging myself because I wasn't feeling happy and loving enough to smile naturally. And I didn't want to be reminded of this failure. I attended a Brahma Vihara retreat last week, and during the guided meditation, I realized that I was smiling spontaneously. I could feel warmth and kindness. There was metta in that smile, and I thought, this is a good practice. And so since then, when I recite the gatha, which is a Zen verse or mantra that has the smile in it, I do make myself smile. I smile with my mouth, and even if it's not totally spontaneous, it is compatible with my intention to be friendly, even if I don't totally feel friendly in the moment. And I have noticed it's become easier. And I have noticed the benefits of smiling. So we're trying to break, to change our patterns and add patterns of friendliness and goodwill. And I just in the few weeks I've been smiling more in my meditations, I think it's helping. The Buddhist tells us that the thoughts that we think most often, the mind will return to with greater and greater ease. So to some degree, we can rewire the brain and weaken old default habit patterns, like judging, comparing, and fault finding, and create new nourishing paths that strengthen metta, goodwill, and generosity. Practicing metta requires patience, not perfection. We're inclining the mind toward kindness and goodwill and away from the far enemy of metta, which is aversion, or in its extreme, hatred. We all know about the three poisons of greed, hatred, and delusion and the suffering they cause. Instead, we are cultivating the antidote by being kind and gentle with ourselves and with others, and not judging ourselves or others if we or they can't open our hearts perfectly. So that's really important. We don't judge ourselves during metta. We're kind to ourselves. In the Karaniya Sutta, which we have on our resources for this class, the Buddha's words on loving kindness, he does set a high bar. And this is a quote. "This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness." And we're following that path. So he's talking to us. He says, "Wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none. With a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world." So, not just those who are like us, we offer metta to. Not just those who are near to us or dear to us. We're asked to radiate kindness over the entire world. The thing is that this ability to radiate kindness is not just for the benefit of others, it's for us to open our hearts. And I don't know about you, but when I see beings like the Dalai Lama who radiates kindness, people like him don't just radiate kindness, they radiate happiness. And I watched a video documentary of the Tibetan Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the other day. What a gentle, loving, smiling being. I'm going to watch it again just to look at his face and the radiance that came out of his being. So that's something to aspire to and to know that it's possible. Anyway, to help us move toward the ultimate state, this ultimate state of caring, there's a practice which uses the repetition of phrases like, and there we have a list of these phrases in our resources on the website. By using these phrases or creating phrases of our own and offering them to ourselves and to others, we can change our habit patterns over time. We can grow the friendly part of ourselves and diminish the unfriendly part. An example, they're all basic wishes, simple, for safety, health, happiness, ease. And you may be familiar with them, but just for example, may I be safe and well? May I be happy and peaceful? May I live with ease and kindness? just something short and direct. In addition to the practice of repeating the phrases, the practice leads us to send the phrases out to a wider and wider community of beings. So although we start with ourselves, our family, friends, and benefactors, we continue by expanding our circle to include people whom we don't know very well. And we call that a neutral person, like a grocery clerk, a person who delivers the mail, a neighbor we don't know well. And you may all already be in the habit of this, that you look at people and you enjoy offering them friendliness. But this is something we're going to continue to develop, because there are often times we also ignore and don't pay attention to any other people around us. After we've established some stability and confidence in turning toward people with friendly intentions, whom we know and care about, we try working with people who are difficult for us. And this is usually really hard, but it's a place where we can learn a lot. What's really interesting is that sometimes that difficult person is someone we know really well. At the retreat I went to, several participants, including myself, shared that the person who was difficult for us was a very good friend. It wasn't that the person was a difficult person per se, it was that there was a quality that they had that we were having difficulty accepting. And this was at the same time that we cared a lot about them. We often see our own projections when we turn toward a person who's difficult for us. The Dalai Lama says, "The reality is that nobody is 100% bad. They must have some good qualities. And if you search hard enough, so the tendency to see someone as completely negative is due to your own perception based on your own mental projection, rather than the true nature of the individual." But we don't work on difficult aspects of offering metta until we're ready. It's true that ultimately we're encouraged to have boundless, unconditional love, to offer metta to all beings, no one left out. But on the road to that high aspiration, we need to be open to investigating our blockages, and to do that gradually and gently, applying metta to our metta. And when I say applying metta to our metta, I think of this example I heard from Ajahn Sumedho a long time ago on a talk, which is called Metta for All Conditions. And he tells how he was expecting a visit from a person for whom he held a lot of ill will. Well, at that time, he was the abbot of the monastery she was coming to visit. And naturally, he did not like experiencing all this ill will. But he knew that adding more ill will to the situation was not the answer. Just to feel ill will towards himself or feeling ill will. So he wasn't necessarily friendly, but he stayed with how he was feeling. He didn't turn away from it in aversion. He turned toward it to look at it, which wasn't necessarily friendly, but it was tolerant, so that he could see what was going on and be with it. So he started writing down all the hateful thoughts he was thinking. He said they were really bad, but he just kept writing down every awful feeling and thought about this person, until finally he said there was only love left. And that was his last sentence. He said there was only love left. The Buddha says, hatred doesn't cease by hatred, but only by love. This is the eternal law. And I think that going through the practice of the Brahma Bihara is remembering that, because it can get frustrating when you see that you aren't filled with love, loving kindness, that we can't hate ourselves for the hate. We still have to turn towards love. The Buddha offers many ways to open our hearts, practicing the precepts, following the Eightfold Path, seeing how we create a self and releasing attachment to that self, thinning the self, our teacher Rodney Smith calls it. And in thinning the self, you diminish the ego, because that's one of the big blockages in the loving, the Brahma Viharas. So we're going to do some practice today with the metaphrases to ourselves and to others in a few minutes in a guided meditation to help open our hearts. That's the practice we're going to practice today. And many practitioners have found that returning again to the phrases, even if we don't feel them, if we have the intention, we're going to build our ability to abide in the Brahma Viharas and replace ill will and aversion with kindness and friendliness. And just a few caveats. When we work with these phrases, we want to remember that our wish is not dependent on whether we or anyone else has earned or deserves our goodwill. And if we do have these thoughts that someone doesn't deserve it, like ourselves, we can notice them and be friendly towards those too. It's a blockage, and we want to see those blockages. We can remember that we have an intention to wish goodwill for ourselves without being attached to the result. The practice is to develop our ability to abide in the beautiful feeling of metta, not make anything specifically happen. So it's in us. We're developing the love in us, not the ability to make somebody else or have something good happen. You know, it's not out there. So it's not always easy to let go of that kind of, oh, let's let good things happen, and I want to feel good, and I want that person to feel good. So Philip Moffat says that when we make our wishes, we say as best we are able, may you or may I. May we do this, offer this metta as best we are able. It's our intention that's most important. And I guess there's one other thing I want to mention, which is the near enemy of metta, which is attachment. And a near enemy of a Brahma Vihara is a state that's not easy to differentiate from that Brahma Vihara. So we've talked about the far enemy, which is really easy to see the difference, like ill will versus friendliness and generosity. But the near enemy often gets intertwined with that Brahma Vihara. So attachment can easily get connected to caring. We care and we naturally want good things for ourselves and others we care about. And that's okay. That's really natural. But we have to ask ourselves, do we care so much that we're clinging? And does everything depend on this good thing happening? Or can it be okay if it doesn't happen? So when we offer metta, part of it is to see, is it okay if my wish doesn't really happen, if the person doesn't appreciate it? The Brahma Viharas are unconditional, and as we offer them, we will probably see the conditions we're putting on them. We begin with ourselves, which is not always traditionally. You offer metta to yourself first, which isn't often easy for some people. And so you can do some, if you find that challenging at all, you can think about doing things that would be conducive to your feeling of developing that in yourself. And when I was at the retreat last week, the teacher suggested that we have an altar, you know, and she was talking about things to put on it that we care about. And I thought, she didn't say this, but I thought, I really need to put pictures of myself on that altar. And so I did put all these pictures. I just looked in a box, you know, to see pictures, and they were various ages from like when I was 5 up until pretty recently. And I just lay them out there. And boy, did I find myself wanting to not put one out because I didn't like the way I looked in that one. And I thought, and I kept looking for the one that I really, oh, I should go search for that really good picture I have. So it was very interesting. And then I go back and I look at it and I just see what comes up. But I deserve to be on that altar. And so that's something I did. And the other thing that I thought was helpful, it was helpful to me, was something that Arv, another LDL, shared, another local Dharma leader at Sim shared at the Brahma Vihara Buddhist Essentials on Wednesday. And he said that he imagined sitting next to himself and offering metta to himself. And I tried that for myself, and it was helpful for me to do that. So you can play around with it if you need help with offering metta to yourself. So I think that is it, except for I did want to mention the spiritual bypass, which is wanting to just look at the, just get into that wonderful good feeling of love and kindness and friendliness. And for example, with Ajahn Sumedho, when he wrote down all those hateful feelings, that's not a spiritual bypass. He wanted to investigate. He could have said, oh, I'm an abbot and I should love this person, and I'm just going to think of all, you know, the positive things and just avoid these bad feelings. So there is a tendency to want to be in a warm, loving, cozy state of only love and skip the investigation part. And it's just something to be aware of. So with that, I think that is what I wanted to talk about. And now we get to practice with meditating. We'll do a guided meditation. And with metta and the phrases and offering them to different people, we won't do the difficult person. We're just going to go as far as the neutral person today. And let me see here, get my notes wherever they are. Oh, here we go. So I'm going to put up some phrases here on, I'm going to screen share them. They're on our website. Do you see them? They're there. Okay, so this is the one here. So the traditional sequence of who you would offer the metta phrases to is to yourself first, then a benefactor, someone who has done something for you, benefited you in some way. It could be a teacher, you know, a grandparent, a parent. Could be anybody who you feel a lot of goodwill towards and appreciation for. And then a dear one would be like a family member, a friend. These are all the people who are easy. It could be a pet also. So these would be all the people that it's easy for you to find loving feelings for. And then we'll go to a neutral person, and we will not do the difficult person. And ultimately, it's all beings. which we usually do at the end of a retreat. We offer the benefits of our practice to all beings. So when you're deciding on and thinking about the person you're going to offer metta to, it's good to, you can think of their name. You could use their name because you're going to be saying things to yourself and offering these wishes to someone. And so you can think of the person's name. And also it's helpful to have a visual image. Think of a setting. Put the person in a setting. For example, I was offering metta to my friend, and I was offering her, may she be safe and protected. And in order to make that more real for me, I put her in her kitchen, by her kitchen table, at her kitchen table, which is her favorite table. And I had her husband in the room with her. And I know she has issues with safety. And so I really wanted to make an image when I would offered her, you know, may she be safe and protected, that where she would feel safe and protected. So that's just something you can do to help you be more in touch, you know, with your offering. And start with the easiest. And then the phrases. I'll be suggesting some of these phrases, but I'll keep space between the phrases, like we'll repeat them, because the idea is you want it to become more automatic and more over and over again, because that's how you incline yourself in a direction. You don't just do it once, but you can change the phrases, and you may have phrases you use already. And you can also shorten the phrases. So instead of saying, may I be safe and well, you could say safe, well, happy. So it depends on what helps your meditation, and you can change things so it works best for you. But I'll just be modeling some of these. And then the last thing is that, so we'll move, we'll do for one person at a time. And you can decide whether you want to start with offering metta to yourself, which is traditionally what's done, or if you'd rather start with like a benefactor and then move to yourself. If it's easier to do a benefactor than starting with yourself, it's hard for some people to start with themselves. You can do that.